Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to this last Ramadan edition of Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, listeners, our theme this Ramadan is a season of change. Majority of us have made many changes during this blessed month, hoping, inshallah, that we can continue after the month of Ramadan. Now, if we look at the reality of Muslims today, many of us will say it is very difficult to maintain the changes that we achieved during this month of Ramadan. Many people hold on to this notion, and the reasoning may be because Ramadan is a blessed month, it is a month filled with barakah, everything changes in the month of Ramadan, so change becomes easy. However, when Ramadan ends, everything goes back to this negative reality, which we consider normality, and it becomes difficult to keep up with the changes made during the month of Ramadan. Why is it so difficult to keep up with these positive changes? We perhaps can argue that the barakah of this blessed month is not there anymore. Now, if we just look at some of these negative realities, we suddenly notice it again. During the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, possibly because of the atmosphere and the environment we are in, we don't see it. It is there, but we don't notice it. Our streets are full with evil. Newspapers, magazines, television, satellite channels advise day and night. But if we look at the masjids after Ramadan, especially in the Fajr prayer, we will find them empty except for a few Muslims. During the month of Ramadan, the masjids are filled with Muslims bowing and prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the condition of the people changes for the better. Yes, we actually feel it and we see it. On ordinary days, you may find someone smoking, and when you forbid him from doing it, he comes up with excuses. Nevertheless, when Ramadan comes, he patiently refrains from smoking most of the day and endures going without it. So what is it rather? It is the weakness of the soul, passion, domination of shaitan, and perhaps his friends that encourage him to smoke again. Now, these examples give us hope to change the unfortunate reality to a better one, and that we should not despair of changing people's conditions or our conditions for the better. I'd like to ask you a question. When Ramadan comes, how many times do we read the Quran completely? Once? Twice? Many times? So let us look at our morals before Ramadan and during it. Notice how you are keen to join the first row in congregation in the masjid and so on. So, respected listeners, there is a possibility for change for the better and for quitting the bad habits and deeds. You only need to strive and have a strong will, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to help and guide. Allah the Almighty says in Surah Al-Ankabut, that's chapter 29, verse 69, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and those who strive for us, we will surely guide them to our ways. And indeed, Allah is with the doers of good. So, respected listeners, Ramadan is indeed an ideal opportunity for change. Many people are captivated by things that they used to, and whenever they try to give up these things, they stumble. Some of them achieve success in overcoming their bad habits for a certain period of time and then suffer a setback. Ramadan is a great opportunity for lasting change. Fasting is an effective remedy for many of these common harmful habits and an opportunity to get rid of their stranglehold over us. It reminds men that these habits are not necessary or unavoidable. They are either self-imposed or are imposed by the circumstances of his or her life, and that one can actually give them up by determination and resolution. So, my beloved listeners, we have worked so hard to change our ways and our habits for the better this Ramadan. Remember, even those deeply rooted practices and their bad habits can be changed slowly but surely. So my advice to you is to remain steadfast, determined, and consistent, and of course to continue seeking Allah's pleasure. And I'd like to leave you with this. Please don't change so that people will love you. Change so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. Well, first up this morning, respected listeners, and this is for the last, of course, for this month of Ramadan, is Refresh and Rejuvenate with Umi Maryam. Today's discussion focuses on how to be a better person. Or do I have the taqwa when it comes to other human beings? And then in Prophetic Medicine, Tibbi Nabawi by Dr. Mujib Hussain, today's audio clips deals with the importance of eating in company and the etiquettes of eating, something very important to us as Muslims. And yes, I'd just like to remind our listeners that you can also follow Dr. Mujib Hussain on YouTube, and his link I hope will be on our Radio Islam website. You can listen to many more interesting talks on prophetic medicine. Alternatively, you can just Google Dr. Mujib Hussain and you can find all the information there, inshallah. And then, of course, we will end our special Ramadan edition with advices and reminders with Mulana Muhammad Venka. Today, Mulana advises and reminds us about Ramadan as a spiritual investment. Well, first up then is Refresh and Rejuvenate with Umi Maryam.
There is a way to change your lives this Ramadan. Refresh and Rejuvenate with Umi Maryam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, we are in our final few days of Ramadan. We have focused on our Salah. In the past few weeks, we focused on Quran. We have also touched on controlling our anger. As this blessed month comes to an end, it is imperative that we do some introspection. 30 days or 20 days of 29 days of intensive training that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded for us, with Taraweeh, fasting and controlling the nafs, all to attain taqwa. But one of the key questions we should be asking ourselves is, do I have taqwa when it comes to other human beings? Joining me is Umi Maryam. Assalamu alaikum, Umi Maryam. Jazakallah khair once again for joining us today.
We alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, we certainly do appreciate it. And yes, I can't believe that we are on the third last day of Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah. It's been a very, very quick Ramadan, over before we know it.
Okay, since we don't have much time, I think we better go into our program immediately. What do we mean by having taqwa when it comes to dealing with other human beings?
You know, when it comes to taqwa, then we often think it's, it is staying away from the sins, that the normal sins that we are, always talking about, the bigger sins, for example, the music and, backbiting and that type of thing, which we become aware of in the month of Ramadan. But a lot of the times, the more subtle sins, it's very subtle in our behavior, but we become so accustomed to it in our habits. For example, making a nasty comment or, saying something that may hurt another person's feelings, we say, oh no, I'm just airing my opinion, I'm giving my view, and we think it's okay. When it comes to taqwa, we also should be aware that Allah is watching us when it comes to our dealings with other human beings, when it comes to our dealings with our husbands, when it comes to our dealings with our children. So, sometimes we do things that are silly and out of habit, but we have to come back and remind ourselves that Allah is watching, and this is also part of taqwa.
Okay. Can you just give us a few simple ideas that can actually help us to be a better person?
One of the most simple things, which I find is very, very lacking in the ummah, and I think all of us can agree, is the lack of making salam. And this is something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged so much when it comes to uniting the people and uniting the hearts of people to bring muhabbat in our homes, to bring muhabbat in our communities. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the advice of making salam, of feeding people. You know, alhamdulillah, with feeding people, I think we are fine with that. Alhamdulillah, it's just part of our culture, it's part of who we are. But when it comes to making salam, you know, if you look at how many Muslim people we bumped into in a shopping center, for example, mm-hmm. and how many of them walk right past us, and we will find that they're only a very, very small handful, if we are fortunate enough, will make salam. But when it comes to salam, it's such a great ibadah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, to the effect that, you know, making salam with more than 20 people in a day will guarantee our Jannah if we pass away on that day. And there was one Sahabi who used to actually go into the marketplace for the sole purpose of going to make salam. So he would not go to buy and sell, you know, as we go into the markets and into the shopping centers for. But he would go for the purpose of going to make salam with people. And every single Muslim person that he passed by, he would make salam with them. And, you know, when he reached that number 20 or over, then, you know, he'd be so happy that if he had to pass away on that day, then alhamdulillah, he would enter into Jannah. So making salam is something that, you know, it extends far beyond just that actual verbal greeting. If you look at the meaning of the salam, you know, we are actually making dua for that person, that may Allah's mercy, may Allah's blessings, you know, be upon you. And you are giving that person a message that I'm not going to harm you in any way. I'm here to wish you well. So that salam is such a deep and wonderful way to greet and interact with other human beings.
Alhamdulillah. Of course, there's many other things that we can look at. For example, smiling and complimenting people.
Gee, when it comes to smiling as well, that's something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to be smiling all the time. There was one Sahabi, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, who his wife used to say to him that, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, you're smiling all the time. Every single time we look at you, you're smiling. And, you know, people are going to start thinking that you... You're a bit like, you know, crazy, you know. Every time somebody looks at you, you're smiling. And he said to this effect that there was not a single time when I looked at the face of my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he wasn't smiling. And so that's the extent to how they, implemented the sunnah of in their lives, where even a smile, and that smile, of course, used to warm the heart of anybody who used to look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is something that we see today. You know, we love to be with people who, for example, happy to be around, smiling all the time, who are complimenting others and making salam, who are raising their strengths and not bringing them down all the time with their weaknesses. And this is something that we to be a good human being, I think these are just basic things. So, you know, for example, making salam and being kind. So with that salam, understanding it's an unspoken thing that I'm not here to harm you, I'm not here to hurt you in any way. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that the best of Muslims, to this effect, is the one who other Muslims and other people are safe from the harm of their hands and the harm of their tongue. So when we make that salam, we are, you know, it's unspoken, it's an unwritten, unspoken thing that I'm making salam with you. I'm not here to harm you in any way. I'm here to be good to you, and I'm here to raise you, you know, and not to bring you down in any way. And we are in the habit of you know, looking at faults of other people and commenting on their weaknesses. And I think one of the best ways to be a better person is to stop talking about what people's weaknesses are and to talk about what their strengths are and to focus on our own weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that we have not attained true iman if we do not wish for our Muslim brothers or our sisters what we wish for ourselves. Can you perhaps just very briefly give us a few examples of how we can achieve this true level of iman?
Yes, I mean, if you look at something like this, it's such a deep hadith, alhamdulillah, where we cannot achieve that true level of iman if we do not wish for our brothers or sisters what we wish for ourselves. And this, you know, it takes a lot of strength in a person to rise above that nafs and their own desires and say, you know what, I want this for myself, but you know what, I want it for you too. And for example, you know, it just take a small example, like a recipe for, you know, it's a very, very minute thing that we go through. But a recipe that we don't want to share the recipe, for example, you know, where a person will ask, what is the recipe? And we'll you know, jump around the recipe or give very, very vague answers and not share that. So, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that you cannot attain that true level of iman if you don't share and want for your Muslim brothers and sisters what you want for yourself. Now, that's just a small example. But then when you look at bigger things, we look at, for example, a person, let's just say a sister-in-law, is going for Umrah, and you know, we feel it that, you know, this is her third or her fourth Umrah that she's been for, and you know, I still haven't been for my Umrah. And this is where jealousy and envy comes in. And the Prophet has warned us that jealousy eats away our good deeds like fire devours wood. That is how quickly those good deeds will disappear. So it's something that we have to be very, very aware of. And that green-eyed monster, as we say, you know, that jealousy will come. And it will make other people see instantly that, this is a person that I don't want to be around. There is something that's not 100% right with this person. And so we have the problem then that that person does not wish for their Muslim sisters what they wish for themselves. We go into we get a new item of clothing, and it's so difficult for us to share where there's a sale on, or you know, if somebody asks where we got this from, then we won't exactly tell them. We'll again give a very, very vague answer that, oh no, I got it on my travels or something like that. But because we don't want that person to be wearing the same item as us, and these are all petty, petty things which I'm mentioning, but you know what, it happens. And even complimenting a person, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the habit of complimenting people, because and this is something that we can also take on for ourselves. If he saw something good in another person, he mentioned it to Sahaba. He didn't hide it. He didn't, he didn't keep quiet about it and keep it to himself. If a person had a good quality, he brought it to other people's attention. He focused on their good. Now, with us, if we see something, for example, a nice handbag that we like on another sister, we'll admire from afar. And we'll think to ourselves that, you know, I like that. And then we'll go to her and we'll say, where did you get your handbag? Why are we not saying, you look wonderful, or that handbag is wonderful on you and it suits you. You know, it suits your personality. We can say so many lovely things to people, and we can raise their spirits and bring them up. But instead, we put them down. And these are just the basics of being a good, kind human being. So we'll just quickly summarize that for you, which is making salam, complimenting people, smiling at people, bringing up their strengths and their strong points, what's good about them and not what's bad about them, and look at our own faults instead and keep quiet about other people's weaknesses. And, you know, just being happy for another person when what Allah gives them, and not wishing, you know, that they didn't have that, and just being happy. And what we want for ourselves, we want for our sisters as well.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to improve our own character and grant us taqwa when it comes to other people, inshallah.
Amen.
May Allah Ta'ala, may the positive changes that we have made and we are making this Ramadan, inshallah, remain with us after Ramadan and beyond, inshallah. Jazakallahu khair, Ummi Maryam, for your time and also for your valuable contribution. We certainly do appreciate it, and have a wonderful Eid, inshallah.
Amen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, coming up next is Prophetic Medicine, Tibbe Nabawi by Dr. Mujib Hussain, and today's audio clips deals with the importance of eating in company and, of course, the etiquettes of eating. Stay tuned.
Within Islamic medicine, the month of Ramadan is recognized for holistic purification. Our fasts, prayers, charity, good deeds, and social connection all contribute to restoring the natural balance in our lives again. Don't miss this opportunity as we explore the holistic benefits of a Ramadan based on the medicine of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and modern day scientific research by Dr. Mujib Hussain.
Prophetic Nutrition, a look at the importance of eating in company. As mentioned before, In prophetic medicine, a large portion is dedicated to the etiquettes of eating. And in modern day science, the etiquettes of eating is overlooked and no significant benefits is attached to it. However, history has proven that whatever the Prophet ﷺ spoke about 1400 years ago has tremendous medical, psychological, emotional benefit to the human being. And as time progresses, we find scientists are continuously validating those words as true. So without a doubt, it will be no wonder to see in the near future that nutritional medicine focuses on the advices pertaining to eating in company. In a famous narration by the Prophet, peace be upon him, he has been reported to have said, "Do not eat alone." He discouraged eating alone. He said that one who eats alone eats with shaitan, meaning eats with Satan. One who eats with another person eats with a tyrant, but those who eat in a group of three eats with the prophets. So in other words, the Prophet is recommending us to eat in company, and we should avoid eating alone. In another narration, the Prophet also said that the food that's enough for one is enough for two. The food that's enough for two is enough for three, and so on. Trying to encourage us to share what we have. Trying to show us that by sitting together as a family, as friends, there's more benefits to that than the eye can see. And we know in preparing for the fast, or even during the fast, we know that for most of us living in the modern day rat race, whereby we go to work 9 to 5 and life is so busy, we never find time to eat with our family and loved ones. So often you'll find a father coming home, the kids ate already, he will warm up his food and eat alone, and there's a loss of the social connection. However, when eating in company, those social connection, those bonds are built up. So we find that in previous years, in the houses of our grandparents, or even our parents, the meeting around the supper table or the lunch table, breakfast table was very important. Everybody had to be present. But if we look at all the psychological and emotional benefits that attach to it, we can see that by sitting in company, the father recognizes that some of the children might be having some problems. It can be seen on their faces or the way they addressing themselves. And these issues can be picked up. However, if we do not meet on a regular basis as a family, as friends, these small issues build up over time, and it can lead to major problems. For instance, problems that children have in school, problems that people experience on different levels. So in the connection of eating, in the social gathering of eating, there's tremendous benefits for all of us. So we should definitely revert back to our upbringing, our ways that were well enforced in Islamic tradition, that you eat in the gathering is very important. And a lot of emphasis is attached to sharing your meal, because by sharing you avoid greediness, you avoid excess. Most of us, we consume more than we need. And by sharing, we actually realize that a small bit of food is needed for us to carry on through the day. And generally, we don't have to consume large amounts of food. But by eating alone every day, one would never get this reminder. So we know that during the fast, when we sit in the gathering, the strength, the family bond is enforced. The connection with our friends is enforced. And this all have an effect on our emotions. And we know that emotional well-being is connected to our GIT. When we're upset, it leads to stomach cramps, it leads to the feeling of butterflies in the stomach, etc. When we are feeling good, eating what is good, in good company, we optimize our well-being. And this is but another resource that we are taught by the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, and another self-help tool in our day-to-day living that will have a profound effect as practiced in Tabanabui or prophetic medicine, which is essentially preventative medicine, meaning small changes made to our diets, to our etiquettes every day have an accumulative effect to our overall well-being. Prophetic nutrition, we're going to look at the etiquettes of eating. As taught to us by prophetic medicine, which refers to the advices, the recommendations, the actions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when it comes to health promotion, we find that a large chapter or a large portion of prophetic medicine would be dedicated to nutrition. And of that, a large portion will be dedicated to the etiquettes of eating. In modern day times, we find that nutritional medicine or modern science, doctors and scientists place emphasis on organic foods versus inorganic foods, place emphasis on eating foods that are free of hormones, a lot of emphasis is placed on the fat content of foods, how well it gets absorbed, the nutrient content. However, the etiquettes of eating is overlooked. So in modern day times, the benefits, the health benefits of eating correctly in a certain manner is overlooked. Whilst in prophetic medicine, these advices are emphasized. And we know that in traditional Islamic society, there are certain ways that we should conduct ourselves when eating. However, many of us are unaware that these mannerisms connected to eating habits has a profound effect on our nutrition, on our digestion, on how well we heal when it comes to certain illness conditions in terms of preventative medicine. We find in prophetic medicine, a sacredness is attached to the meal. In modern day times, we buy food on the run, we eat takeaways, we pass by a window where food is prepared in a matter of seconds through the drive-thrus, we eating while we're driving at work, we'll gobble down a meal quickly, and we fail to see that these pressures of modern day living causes us to take eating for granted. Whilst in prophetic medicine, many factors were put in place to add sacredness to the meal. So we spoke about the intention and the benefits of prayer over meal. We find that the Prophet ﷺ also used to recommend that we should sit and eat. So take time in your day. In your busy schedule, isolate or designate a time for your eating whereby you prepare your meal and you actually sit down in a protected space away from the computer, away from your phone, and you dedicate that time to consuming the meal. By doing that, by making the niyyah and the intention, you will ensure that you can avoid all the symptoms that are associated with eating too fast or overeating. And by doing that, one will be more conscious of what you consume. It's well established that to choose your time when you eat, choose your company is very important, to sit down and you eat. By sitting down and eating, what does it do? When in a sitting position, we find that the stomach is compressed due to the posture. And by doing this, you limit the amount of food that one can take in. If you were to stand and eat, the volume of the stomach allows for more to enter, so one would take longer to be filled. But if you were to sit down, eat slowly, it's recommended that when you eat with your hands, you eat with three fingers. Whilst doing that, you limit the morsels of food that enter the mouth. By doing that, you are not taking foods in big gulps, which cause a burden on the digestive system, because as food goes through the digestive tract, enzymes are released in order to allow for the food to be broken down efficiently. However, when you're consuming foods on the run, eating fast, standing and eating, it hampers digestion. So it's a cause of many conditions. It can lead to constipation, heartburn, indigestion, cramps, which can eventually affect your rest of your day. It will affect how you concentrate for the day. It could make you lethargic. It could make you moody. There are many self-help tools within the prophetic medicine that are seemingly very simple on face value. But when implemented, and when you make that change compared to our fast-paced modern living whereby we overlook the sacredness of our meal, when we take the time to designate a portion of the day to eating, we say the intention before we eat, we sit down and we eat with our three fingers, we'll be discussing many more other etiquettes which will also benefit. By doing all of this, we allow ourselves to gain maximum benefit from the advices of the Prophet, peace be upon him, which eventually will lead to the well-being of our minds, of our bodies, and our spirituality.
Within Islamic medicine, the month of Ramadan is recognized for holistic purification. Our fasts, prayers, charity, good deeds, and social connection all contribute to restoring the natural balance in our lives again. Don't miss this opportunity as we explore the holistic benefits of Ramadan based on the medicine of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and modern-day scientific research by Dr. Mujib Hussain.
Hajj Seminar on Sunday, the 24th of July, 2016. Sahuk Address, Hafiz Ismail Kulvadia, Medical Aspects of Hajj, Dr. A.S. Minty, Virtues of Hajj, and Etiquette of Visiting the Haramain, Mulana Bilal Qasim, Miscellaneous Aspects of the Hajj Journey, Mulana Yahya Bam, Ziyara of Medina, Mulana Anis Munshi, Method of Umrah, Mulana Musa Akudi, 5 Days of Hajj, Mulana Sulaiman Ravid, Slides on Hajj, Brother Ahmed Saeed, from 9 a.m. to the Dhuhr Salah at the Nur al-Islam Hall and Extension 5 Lanasia. There will be time allocated for Q&As. Refreshments will be served. Ladies accommodation available. Brought to you by Jamiatul Ulama, Da'wah Wal Irshad. Call 011-852-4631.
Is he on? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're trying to get hold of Maulana Muhammad Venkat, but in the meantime, while we're waiting, I know I don't have much time, so I thought I'd quickly, I'll take this opportunity to thank all my guests for their time and for their valuable contribution on this program, socially speaking. This is my last program for the month of Ramadan. Okay, the guest that I would like to thank is Ummi Maryam, of course, Dr. Mujib Hussain, and I'm already thanking Maulana Muhammad Venkat, but I think I do have him online now. So, anyway, I would just like to say Jazakallahu Khair to all these people for being on my program, for their time, for their valuable contribution. Allah reward you all abundantly. You are in our du'as, and Eid Mubarak to you and your family. And we do have Maulana online, so stay tuned for advices and remedies with Maulana Muhammad Venkat.
Coming up next, advices and reminders with Maulana Muhammad Venkat.
Assalamu alaikum, Maulana. Jazakallah khair for joining us. And we've come to the end of Ramadan, just a day or two left. Please share with us your advices for today, inshallah.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Respected honored listeners of Radio Islam, we begin by praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with countless blessings, salutations upon our leader and master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that each and every one of us, our good actions will definitely be rewarded. You will definitely be rewarded. Either you will be rewarded in this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant you a handsome reward in the year after. But one thing is certain, you will definitely be rewarded. Wasbir fa inna Allaha la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Like when you make an investment in this world, you wait for the investment to mature. So similarly, the investment that we have made to Allah this Ramadan was a spiritual investment. And respected listeners, most definitely this is an investment which will definitely mature. This is an investment which will definitely mature. So we should be grateful to Allah, number one, for affording us with this blessed month of Ramadan. And number two, we should be optimistic in the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Those are those final moments. These are those moments when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is prepared to forgive. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is prepared to overlook. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is prepared to pardon. Those who have sinned against him. These are those last few moments. We find that the night of Eid is coming. Many people take this night for granted. We become oblivious. We engage in ourselves in a preparation of the day of Eid, which is important as well to prepare for the day of Eid. It's a joyous occasion. It's a happy occasion. But coupled with that, we need to spend some portion of this night in the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? That the one who stays awake on the night of the two Eids, his heart will not die the day when other hearts will die. So what a privilege, from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So respected listeners, this is a spiritual investment. Whether it is your salah, whether it is your tilawat of the Quran, whether it was your taraweeh, whether it was your charity, your sadaqah, your zakah, whatever it was, this was your spiritual investment that you have sent forth for akhirah. And what you have sent forth, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will preserve it for you. He will multiply it and Allah will give it back to us on the day when we need it the most. We don't know which day, we will need that spiritual investment of ours. Wallahi, whatever you exhibited in this blessed month of Ramadan, that hand of charity that you displayed in Ramadan, it will come to your rescue the day you need it the most. It will come to your rescue the day you need it the most. There is one narration that has been recorded in the Kitabs, that there were two people back in the day, they were walking in the marketplace, and you're in this ungodly environment where every order of Allah is being violated. And one of them tells the other that, you know what, how about us devoting a few moments, you know, to the remembrance of Allah? Let us speak about Allah, speak about the greatness of Allah. So the other one said, okay, that's a brilliant initiative. So they start speaking about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for those few moments. After speaking about Allah, they both parted, they continued. After a period of time, one of them sees the other in a dream. And the other one tells him that, you know what, you recall those finer moments, you know, that some years ago, you know, when we spent those few moments speaking about Allah. He said, I have left this world, and, you know, this is how I stood up before Allah. Because of that one moment, you know, where we had spoken about the greatness of Allah, because of that one moment, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you know, decided to forgive me. And glad tidings to you, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has also forgiven you. So we don't know, respected listeners, which moment it is, you know, which action of ours, perhaps that action that you and I consider to be, you know, trivial, that action which we consider to be insignificant, perhaps it is because of that action that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will avail us. Allah will pardon, Allah will overlook our shortcomings. So really we need to, see how we can capitalize on this opportunity, how we can, you know, make this ambition a reality. You know, that we have this intention, we made this intention in Ramadan, that we will become a better Muslim. You know, we will become a better human being. We will create that, you know, that attachment and the bond with Quran and Kareem. Subhanallah, respected listeners, we need to make resolutions with our Allah. You know, we make resolutions with everything else, with everyone else. You know, as the end of the year, we start making resolutions, New Year's resolutions. As the day of Eid sets in, we need to make resolutions with Allah. Number one, that from this point onwards, I will not miss one salah that I had. I will not miss one salah. I will make it the point of performing all my salah. Number one. Number two, we have created that attachment with Quran in Ramadan. Respect the listeners, make this intention number one to improve my recitation of Quran al-Kareem. You know, those of us who think we are perfected, there's always room for improvement. You know, perfect your recitation of Quran al-Kareem. Make a concerted effort to improve your recitation of Quran. Number three, very, very important, make an effort to understand the message of Quran. The simple, basic surahs that we recite on a daily basis. You know, do we really understand the message of the surahs? That's number three. Number four, respected listeners, you know, this is an occasion, the day of Eid is coming. You know, these are great days. You know, if we are at war with others in this world, this is an opportunity. Let us capitalize. Let us build bridges with our families, you know, with our relatives, with our neighbors, whatever it is, for the pleasure of Allah. Let us learn to forgive and forget if we want Allah Ta'ala to pardon our sins. And number five, very, very important, respected listeners, let us make that resolution, you know, that we will seriously look at into our dressing. You know, when we look into our dressing, many people feel this applies only to women. No. You know, this also applies to the men. You know, for you to wear clothing that is very, very tight, for you to wear clothing that, you know, where the figure, where the body is exposed, this is something which is totally disliked in Sharia. So we need to, alhamdulillah, in the blessed month of Ramadan, we find that our sisters, the cloaks, the abayas, and, you know, the Islamic garb comes out of the cupboards. What happens the moment the sighting of Shawwal is done? You know, all that is put back into the cupboard, and we will say, we will see you next year during the blessed month of Ramadan. No, we need to seriously look at it. You know, look into our dressing. This is something which is integral part of our iman. This is something that differentiates a person. You know, looking at what is modesty. This is another topic on its own. You know, haya and modesty and iman are two inseparable entities. When one is not there, the other can never be there. So, respected listeners, I think, you know, we have come to the end of our time. Is up. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that, number one, inshallah, whatever little we have done in this blessed month of Ramadan, I swear by Allah, it will come to your rescue on a day that you need it the most. The charity that you have given, the tilawat that you made, the tarawih that you stood for this fast of the blessed month of Ramadan, it will come to your rescue the day you need it the most. And number two, respected listeners, like I mentioned, let us make resolutions with ourselves in terms of our salah, in terms of our attachment to Quran, in terms of our dressing, you know, and like I mentioned, make a concerted effort. Alhamdulillah, we are competent scholars and ulama, understand the message of Quran Kareem and make an effort to improve in the recitation of Quran. You know, we thank you, Sister Zenith, for affording us this opportunity, and you know, we thank the directors of Radio Islam, you know, for affording us this opportunity to share with you a few words of nasiha, you know, every Monday morning. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept our fasting, Allah accept our siyam and our qiyam, and may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala pardon and forgive each and every one of us, so that we could leave this month of Ramadan in such a condition that we are totally forgiven. And we beg Allah to show us many, many more Ramadans, inshallah. And those who have passed on, may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make a maghfira, Allah ta'ala pardon them, Allah elevate and escalate, you know, the stages in Jannah. Inshallah, till we speak again, perhaps after the blessed month of Ramadan, you know, we request you to remember us and remember the entire Ummah, you know, in your esteemed du'as. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Jazakallahu khair, Mawlana, for all the advices and reminders that you shared with us during this month of Ramadan, inshallah. May we all practice on it, inshallah. Sadly, that brings us to the end of our special Ramadan edition of Socially Speaking. I will, inshallah, be back and, of course, resume our normal programming from next week. But I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all our listeners a blessed and joyous Eid, inshallah. Eid Mubarak to all of you. Please remember all of us in your pious du'as. Make it easy for all of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. And just finally, I must not forget to thank my engineers, Jazakallahu Khair, Brother Ziyad Khan, and also Brother Ibrahim Shah, who made sure that my program goes off very smoothly. Jazakallahu Khair, and Jazakallahu Khair to my special guest once again, Umi Maryam, Dr. Mujib Hussain, and Maulana Muhammad Venka, for their time and, of course, for their valuable contribution. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.